Our sermon reading today comes from Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 7. Jesus says this, "Ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who searches receives, and everyone who asks receives. Everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for bread, will give a stone? Or if a child asks for a fish, will give a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. This morning, I want to have you think back over your life to those times when you had to ask a lot of someone else. We might call these big asks. It's when you make a request of someone that requires a lot of work or sacrifice or commitment on their part. You can probably think of some pretty big requests you had to make over the course of your life, right? Asking for a loan from a family member is a big ask. Asking your parents to watch your kids for 9 days while you and your wife take a vacation is a big ask. Mom and Dad, could you watch the kids for a bit? Asking a friend to drive you 2 hours to the airport is a big ask. Asking your family to move with you for a new job is a big ask. Now think about it, though. Who do we usually make these big requests of? Right? It's usually people we know and we're close to, certain families, certain friends. And we know that if we ask big things of people who don't love us or don't care about us, they're probably not going to say yes, right? A stranger isn't going to loan me money. A stranger isn't going to let me use their car while mine's in the shop. My neighbor 10 doors down who I met once isn't going to watch my dog for a week. Big asks are for people we love and trust. I think this is also why it's hard for many of us to be in positions where we had to do a lot of asking, right? Who here likes the idea of being a telemarketer, right? Or who likes fundraising, right? It's hard asking people for money or asking strangers to buy what you're selling. Well, here's why I bring this up today. In our reading today from Matthew 7, Jesus tells us to ask. We can ask things of God. And today we're thinking about what does that really mean? And what can I really ask of God? And how big can the ask be? And how confident can I be that God may say yes? Most of you know right now we're in a sermon series in our church on the Sermon on the Mount, which is a famous sermon Jesus gives in Matthew 5 to 7. And what Jesus is doing in this sermon is showing us what his upside-down kingdom is like that he's bringing, and what the God of this kingdom is like, and what it means for us to live as citizens of this kingdom. And today, Jesus takes up the topic of prayer once again. He's talked about it in a few other places in this sermon. And in these verses, Jesus will not only teach us more about how to pray, but also about who this God is, who we pray to, and how our understanding of him should transform our prayer lives. Let's jump in and look at these verses again. Here's how Jesus began in verse 7. He says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened." Now, many of us, we've heard these verses before. I think it could be easy to lose sight of what Jesus is actually saying here. What we have here are a set of promises from Jesus. Unbelievable promises, really. He promises that everyone who asks of God receives. Everyone who searches will find. Everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. And I think for some of us, our immediate reaction to that is kind of hesitation, right? Maybe pump the brakes a little bit. Because we think, are we really supposed to believe that God will answer our every request? Right? Is it really that simple? Ask and it will be given to you. In fact, in my studies this week, this is what I saw some pastors and scholars doing before they got into this passage too deeply. They began with a caution about taking these words too literally. They wanted to make sure we know that, you know, God, he's not writing a blank check here and saying, ask for anything you want and it will be given to you. There are limits to what you should ask for. That's what some people wanted us to do. However, I think this misses the whole point of what Jesus is really trying to tell us in these verses. In fact, it works against it. Jesus is trying to tell us here we need to be less hesitant in prayer. We need to be less skeptical. Let's not tone down one of the most generous sets of promises in the Bible. Yes, these verses and God's generosity, it can be easily abused. Yes, there are things that are inappropriate to ask for. And we'll talk a little about that later. But Jesus' whole point here is that we need to ask and seek and knock more. I like the way N.T. Wright puts it. He says, for most of us, the problem is not that we are too eager to ask for the wrong things. The problem is that we are not nearly eager enough to ask for the right things. Right? We are far too slow and hesitant to come to God with our every request. In the next verses, Jesus makes this point even more strongly. He says this, is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for bread, will give a stone? Or if a child asks for a fish, will give a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Right? Jesus reminds us that the reason we can ask God for anything with such boldness is because he's a father to us. And just as we as parents desire to give good gifts to our kids, how much more then does God our Father desire to give good gifts to us? From these verses here, I see at least three ways in which we're invited to pray, which we're kind of challenged to pray. The first one is this. Number one, God invites us here to come before God in prayer and ask with confidence. This goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning. The closer you are with someone, and the more you trust in their love for you, the more confident you can feel going to them with a big request or a big ask. And Jesus' point is there's no one who loves you more than God your Father. And so your view of God matters in prayer. Right? God, he's not some heavenly bureaucrat or heavenly dictator who can't be bothered with our little concerns. And he's not a bad father either. God's not this angry, reluctant father who's stingy with what he has. No, God is a generous, loving, caring Father. And so we can go before him and ask with confidence. I think of my kids. My kids seem to have zero hesitancy with asking for something they want. Right? They're confident askers. It's crazy some of the stuff they ask for over the years. Right? No, we're not going to get a horse. No, we're not going to get a jet ski. And here's the thing. We don't really say yes all that much. We probably say yes like 5% of the time. But they keep asking. But even though they know we're probably going to say no, they still ask with confidence because they know we love them. They're confident in our love for them. And so they keep asking, which is good. And this is the same confidence God wants us to have with him. We can come to him with all concerns, no matter how crazy they might seem. No request is too simple, too small, too mundane. No request is too big, too difficult, too complex. We have this freedom to go to him at all times. Nothing should hold us back. Many of you have probably seen this picture before. These are pictures of John F. Kennedy Jr. playing under his father's presidential desk in the Oval Office. And I often share this photo in confirmation classes. We talk about the Trinity and who God the Father is. Because I capture so well the idea that God is our almighty Father. I mean, think about this picture. You have the most powerful man in the world in his office. He probably has hundreds of people protecting him at this moment. All sorts of resources. Nobody can get to him who he doesn't want to let in. He's utterly, completely unapproachable to most people. And yet for his children, they can approach him with ease as a father, with freedom, with confidence. I mean, no one else has this kind of access to him. No one else can casually play under his desk. And again, this is the kind of relationship we're invited to have with God. He is God Almighty, the creator of the universe, holds the world together, and yet we can approach him confidently as a father. Now, not only are we encouraged to come to God with confidence, but secondly, we're encouraged to come to God with eagerness in prayer. Again, verse 11 said this, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him. Right? And the message here is God wants to give us good gifts. But notice what it says. He will give good gifts to those who ask him. Right? God gives good gifts to those who ask him. And so there's a sense here even that the more you ask, the more he will give. And so we should come to God eagerly in prayer. He's eager to be generous with us, eager to give us good gifts, more eager than even we are as earthly parents with our children. And so let us also come eagerly to him with our prayers. And finally, Jesus also encourages us to approach God with persistence. Look again at verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. Right? Think about these three words here. Asking, searching, knocking. One scholar mentioned that these words may deliberately ascend to greater and greater urgency. So think about a child for a minute. First, if a child's mother is near and visible, he may ask for something, right? But if she's not near or visible, what does the child do? He goes searching for his mother, right? He's calling out for his mother, searching for his mother. Finally, if he's found his mother, but she's maybe inaccessible in her room, in the bathroom, or wherever, he knocks on the door, right? And so the point is he goes to greater and greater lengths to find his mother in order to make his request. He's persistent. He's persistent. He does what it takes. He asks, searches, knocks. And we're to do the same, persist to greater and greater lengths with our request to God. In a way, all three of these actions describe how we're to pray, what it's to be like. Asking involves words, talking, tone of voice, we do that. Searching involves walking, moving, looking, probing, exploring. Knocking involves muscles, power, collisions, noise. All this takes energy, takes movement, takes action. And in that sense, we have to change the way we think about prayer. Prayer is not passive. Prayer is not still. It's active. And it's not hard for us to imagine how each of these actions takes persistence. Right? As a dad, I know what asking with persistence sounds like, right? It sounds like, dad, 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 dad. Or, dad, can I have one more? One more, dad, one more, one more. Or, please, please, dad, please, please. Or, again, 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 again. And as a father, that can get really annoying pretty quickly. But Jesus says, pray with persistence. Keep asking. He's not bothered by it. He's not bothered by the dad, 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 dad. Searching also takes persistence. The assumption is that when you're searching for something, you're looking for something you can't immediately find. You have to look and look and look and try a new place and try a new idea, try a new tactic, start all over again. And so what might that look like? Searching in prayer. Jesus says, search and you will find. And then knocking often takes persistence, as my story in the children's message illustrated. Right? Sometimes you're not heard the first time. So you have to knock longer and louder. But if you know someone's home, if you know that person wants to see you, you'll not stop knocking until the door is opened. And we know God wants to see us. Jesus says, knock and the door will be opened. Again, my kids know how to knock with persistence. In fact, my kids do not know how to handle a locked door very well in our house. Right? They're used to just going to any room they want, going in whatever room they want. And so, especially when they're younger, I think of especially Isaac right now, right? They go crazy when a door is locked, right? Knocking, knocking, louder and louder, twisting the door handle, trying to talk to us through the door. You know, Isaac, you start to see him peek his eyeball under the door. He's got his little fingers, like that's going to do something, right? They do all they can to open the door. And I think it's this sort of persistence and action with which God asks us to knock. I love this quote from N.T. Wright. He says, Jesus isn't encouraging a kind of holy boldness, a sharp knocking on the door, an insistent asking, a search that refuses to give up. That's what our prayer should be like. This isn't just a routine or formal praying, going through the motions as a daily or weekly task. This is a battle. There's a battle on, a fight with the powers of darkness. And those who have glimpsed the light are called to struggle in prayer for peace, for reconciliation, for wisdom, for 1,000 things for the world and the church. Perhaps 100 or 2 for one's own family, friends, and neighbors, and perhaps 12 for oneself, right? Jesus teaches us to go after prayer in this way. It's activity, it's exertion, it's a struggle, it's persistence. Now, having said all that, I do want to say a few words about the parameters of this. Can we really ask for anything and expect to get it? Well, there are several things I want to mention here. First of all, we have to take into account all the things Jesus just said previously in the Sermon on the Mount, right? He has been showing us what his upside-down kingdom is like. And so in that sense, we should also seek to pray in alignment with his kingdom ways and the other things he's saying. For example, he has told us not long ago to not store up earthly treasures, but heavenly treasures instead. And so we can assume here that God doesn't desire for us to ask and ask for earthly treasures beyond our needs. In fact, in chapter 6, verse 21, Jesus said, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." It was this encouragement to make sure our hearts are treasuring the right things in life. And likewise, coming to prayer with your heart in the right place is just as important, right? What are you really after in prayer? What are your motives? James 4:3 says this from our first reading: "You ask and do not receive, because you ask wrongly in order to spend what you get on your pleasures." Right? James tells us plainly, you can ask wrongly for things in prayer. Or think about the Lord's Prayer, which we looked at a little while ago in chapter 6. Jesus told us to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." And so as we pray, we're also asking, "God, help me to pray within your will. Help me to pray for things within your kingdom." Right? We already know God's not going to answer our prayer if we're asking things outside of his will for us. Today, Jesus tells us to search and you will find. Well, earlier, he used that same word and said, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Right? And so prayer should be aligned with seeking the kingdom of God. And along those lines from our reading today in verse 7, Jesus told us that our Father in heaven will give good things to those who ask him. And that's important to understand. God only gives us good things according to his will. But the truth is, right, we don't always ask for what is good. We may think it'd be good for us, but God in his wisdom knows better than us. And so sometimes he says no. Right? If my kids ask, "Hey, Dad, can I eat this whole gallon of ice cream tonight?" I'm going to say no. Right? Not because I'm a good father. Not a good father, it's because I am a good father and I want to give them good gifts. That's not a good gift, eating a whole gallon of ice cream that night. And God does the same thing. He says no for our own good. Right? For example, sometimes he doesn't get us out of hard circumstances, even when we pray for it, because this hard circumstance, it might be good for us in that time of our life. I mean, just think about the ways that hard experiences shaped you in life, made you a stronger person, sharpened your character. And so instead of taking away your hard circumstances, God may give you different good gifts, like strength or peace or perseverance to help you get through it. In many ways, prayer is a mystery. We cannot always know why God seems to answer some prayers with a yes, other prayers with a no. But we do know Jesus tells us to ask, seek, and knock. And so let us become people of prayer. And people whose faith is founded on a vibrant prayer life, knowing that we can go to God in confidence and with eagerness, assured that every prayer will be heard, every prayer will be responded to by our Heavenly Father.